happy Thursday. Hope you all are having a good week. We're getting through this week together, and it's hard to believe that it's already the first week in August, and it's just crazy to me how this year has been so crazy, but yet it has really flown by. And I don't know about you, but I praise the Lord for that because I'm ready for 2021. I'm just kind of done with 2020. So hopefully this study has been encouraging during these difficult days. And so today we're going to continue in our study. And this section, if I were preaching this message, I would not probably break this one out. But since we're kind of just doing small chunks in these videos, I really wanted to stop and talk about this section. And it begins in verse 15. But I'm going to go back and read verse 13 so that we can kind of keep it in context here. So notice what Paul writes here to Philemon, verse 13. He says, "I would have been glad to keep him with me in order that he might serve me on your behalf during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent in order that your goodness might not be by compulsion, but of your own accord." So he said that, remember, Paul is making this appeal to him out of love and trusting the Spirit that God's going to work in his heart to do the right thing. Rather than Paul just telling him, this is what you have to do, he's saying, I'm making an appeal out of love for you and of love for the situation, and I'm going to trust the Spirit that he's going to work in your heart that you're going to do the right thing, right? That you'll be reconciled with Onesimus, you'll take him back, you'll forgive him. And so now, notice what he says in verse 15, because this is all part of the appeal, but I want us to kind of just talk about this morning or today, this idea, because we don't want to just jump over this. Look at verse 15. He says, "For this, perhaps, is why he was parted from you for a while, that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord." So remember, Onesimus left Philemon. We don't exactly know why. We don't know if he ran away or if he left to go maybe appeal to Paul to help with this conflict. But obviously there's a conflict between Onesimus and Philemon. And when Onesimus meets up with Paul, either by chance or either because he was looking for Paul, he gets saved. Paul shares the gospel with him. He gets saved, and then he stays there and helps care for Paul while he's in house arrest. So now Paul is writing this letter back to Philemon to accept Onesimus back. And what Paul wants him to do now in verse 15 is he wants him to think about this situation and how God might be working through it. Because see, it's easy for us to look at our conflict. It's easy for us to look at the circumstances of our life, the things that happen to us. If we just look at them with our blinders on and just looking at our situation, it's easy for us to say that's not fair. That's wrong. I don't deserve to be treated that way. There should be justice for me in this. You know, it'd be easy for Philemon to say, you know, my slave should not have ran away. He should not have left me. I did not give him permission to leave. That is wrong. I'm not going to forgive him. Maybe if he stole something from me, I'm not going to forgive him because that was wrong. And what Paul is getting him to do is to see that perhaps, and we'll talk about that perhaps here in just a minute, but he wants him to think that maybe the reason he left was because God was working behind the scenes, underneath it all, to get Onesimus out to meet Paul so that he could get saved. If Onesimus doesn't leave, he may never come to know Christ. And so what Paul is getting him to think is even though this is a bad situation, right? Like whatever happened is a bad situation, but through that bad situation, God used that to save Onesimus. And that's something that should be celebrated, not something that should be just, well, he shouldn't have left and that's not right and that's not fair. No, he wants him to see that through this bad situation, God got the glory. God did something amazing through it and saved a sinner who is now your brother. He says, don't think about him just as a slave, but he is now your brother in Christ. And God worked through this situation to get that. And so what we see is the doctrine of providence. God is always working in our circumstances. And so I'm going to give you a very technical definition. This is from my professor, and I think this is just a very technical, but it's a very good way to think about providence. He says this. He says, "The sovereign triune God rules over the cosmos as king and lawgiver. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are actively involved in every moment of history and every element in the universe, albeit indirect, ordinary, and thoroughly mediated ways. He is very active. And I think sometimes we can forget that. We can see God working in the big things, but we forget that he's even working in the little things. And that's what Paul is getting Philemon to think about here, is that God was working even in this terrible situation to do something good and to get the glory through it. And so that's what we kind of have to remember that in our life as well, that even in bad situations, God's going to be working for good. I mean, Paul said it in Romans 8, very familiar verse. He says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So if you are his child, even that conflict, even that bad situation, even that tragedy, while it itself may not be good, God's going to be working through it to get the glory. Even your marital trouble that you have, your friendship trouble, your family trouble, things that happen to us from people outside of our family, friends, and loved ones, things like that, God is working in that. He's never distant. And I think sometimes we forget that because we don't see this grand, big, God doesn't speak to us and tell us exactly what he's doing. And so we can get so upset and again, just put our blinders on and only think about ourselves and forget that, hey, God's going to work through this somehow or another. We may not always know it. We may not always see it, but God's going to work through this. And that's what Paul is trying to get Philemon to think about here. And a great example of this in the Old Testament is Joseph. When you look at all the things that happened to Joseph in Genesis, when you see that his brothers tried to kill him and then sold him into slavery, and then he gets falsely accused and thrown in jail, and then he gets passed over, he gets forgotten about by someone who was supposed to help him get out of jail, and then he ends up in Pharaoh, and this right-hand man of Pharaoh. And then through the famine and things like that, then his family and his brothers come to him. And when he finally gets to have that face-to-face meeting with his brothers after all that they had done, because they're the ones that started all that stuff, he forgives them and he says that what you intended for evil, God meant for good to save many people. And so he forgave them because he realized that even though they had done terrible things to him and terrible things had happened to him, he realized that God was working through it all, the good and the bad. And he realized that in the end, God was going to get the glory through it. Their wicked, evil plans didn't change, and they certainly didn't overpower God. God worked it all for good. And so that's what we see here, is that Paul is appealing to this idea of the doctrine of providence. Don't forget that God is working through it all. Now, we need to talk about what Paul says here, because he says, "For this, perhaps." If you write in your Bible or make notes, circle that, write that big, because this is key. Because even Paul, who's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, don't miss this. He says, "Perhaps." He doesn't know for sure, but he says, "This is perhaps what God is doing." Because he doesn't know. See, my professor always makes this point. He says that God's providence is only seen in the rearview mirror. It's not seen in our front windshield. If we think about going through life in a car, it's not seen ahead of us. It's seen in our rearview mirror. Because think about it in your life. Aren't there times in your life where you've hit those things and you say, "Man, I don't know what's going on. I don't even know how God's working. I don't even know if God's in this situation." But now you can look back months and maybe years later and you can say, "Man, I can see how God got me from here to here. And it took that thing, whatever that was, good or bad, it took that to get me to where he wanted me, but I can see how God was guiding it." But in the midst of it, you're like, "Man, I don't even know where God is." But in the rearview mirror of life, we can see, man, God got me from here to here, and he orchestrated every step along the way. And that's what God's providence is. We don't always know. It's almost impossible, near impossible, for us to say right now, this is what God's doing. We may feel like he's leading us in a certain way, but it's very, very difficult, almost impossible, to say right now that this is what, because it might just be my idea. It might just be your idea. But we can look back and we can see, hey, this is how God was working. But we always have to say, in the moment, we have to be very careful to say, perhaps. We need to be careful when we say, God told me this, or God is leading me to do this. Or here's another one, God told me to tell you this. We need to, like, that would probably be better to be taken out of our vocabulary, because we don't know. I mean, I have ideas, but they may not be from God. So we need to be very careful about how we say God told me, or God is showing me, or God is telling me this, or this is what God is doing right now, because we don't always know. Things that I thought were good ideas at the time, I look back and say, man, that was purely me. That wasn't God. I wasn't following God on that because I just thought it was a good idea, and it wasn't. So we have to understand that perhaps is one of our best ways to talk about what God is doing. And then we can see if it actually fleshes out later on. When we look back, we can see how God was working or if he wasn't. But I think Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says, perhaps that is key for us. But don't miss that God is always working. Even in the bad situations, he's going to get the glory. What somebody else meant for evil, God's going to work it for good. If you are called according to God's purpose, if you're his child, his son, his daughter, then God's going to work good in everything that comes along. And if we approach every situation in our life, the good and the bad, with that idea of this is for God's glory, he's going to work this for good, for his glory, then how would that change the way you look at tragedy in your life? Or when you look at when somebody cuts you off in traffic, or somebody does something at work, you get passed over for the promotion, or somebody in school spreads some, you know, a rumor about you, or somebody at work spreads a rumor about you, or you have trouble with your spouse and you're trying to work through that conflict. How would it look different if you said, you know what, the way I'm going to approach this is that God's going to work it for good? What would that do to your stress level? What would that do to your anxiety? What would that change for your anger response if you said, perhaps God is going to do this. He's going to work through this for his glory. I don't know how, but he's going to work it for his glory. Because here's the thing, we may not always see it. And here's another quote on God's providence. This is from Michael, a professor at another seminary and author named Michael Horton. He says, God's hand of providence, even in the lives of believers, remains largely hidden. Like any good story, it is only at the end that what seemed like unrelated characters and events are seen to constitute a narrative plot. Only the divine playwright knows the whole story. Reversals and counter-reversals are meaningless apart from some resolution, but a resolution that is easily predicted in advance lacks dramatic depth. And so we have to be careful to say what is and is not God. Because it's easy for us to look at it and say, well, you know, this is what God is doing right now. But it's also easy for us to say, this is not what God is doing. When in fact, it could be exactly what he's doing to get you to where he wants you to be, so that he can get the glory. Because remember, in the end, it's all for his glory. Everything in our lives is for him and his glory, so that he will be worshiped. And so that's how, even in the bad times in our lives, you know what? We can still pray for his glory and his will to be done, because it's not about us. It's all about him. And so we can't forget that fact, and we can't forget about God's providence. And that's what Paul says here at this part in Philemon, is he's like, hey, Philemon, it's not about you. This could have all been God's plan to get Onesimus saved. And had he not ran away, had he not left you, whatever, had he not stolen something from you, we don't know exactly what happened. But had this event had not happened, he might not have been saved. But because he ran away, because he left you, now guess what? You can welcome him back as a brother. And you know what? The only way that that can happen is because God worked on Onesimus's behalf, because Paul preached the gospel to him and he responded. And so this goes from something that Philemon should be angry about to something that Philemon should celebrate. And so in our life, in our conflict, in the just our everyday life, how would your life change? How would your anger change? How would your anxiety change if we stopped and took every situation and said, all right, God's going to get the glory through this. Or when there's conflict and we're angry about it and we just want to be made right, what if we stopped and said, you know what? God's going to work through this. God's going to work through this. Perhaps God's going to do this to get that person's attention. Or perhaps God wants to get my attention through it. We don't know for sure. But never forget that God is always actively working. And that's what Paul wants Philemon to see here. And that's what I think we need to be reminded as well, is in the ups and the down, the good days and the bad days, God is still working. And if you are called according to his purpose, he's going to work it for your good. And so that should help us respond differently if we can keep that in mind, that, you know what, this somehow, some way or another, God's going to get the glory through this. And that can help us in our everyday life and especially in our conflict. So I hope that helps you today. I hope that encourages you. And we will see you next week as we are leading up to the end of this study. God bless you. Hope you all have a great day and a good weekend. And we'll see you Sunday.